You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire, 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā katoa, ko Jemima Houston tuku ingoa, no mai haere mai ki te wire mō tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Tuesday the 4th of May. My name is Jemima and I am joined by Lyric, who is currently finishing off one last little piece for The Wire for you, but she will be through soon. Thank you so much for joining us today on this lovely Tuesday at the very beginning of May. It's beautiful up here in Auckland. I hope it's beautiful wherever you are. Ewhai nei, coming up on the show today, we have some great pieces for you. Auckland Action Against Poverty and a number of other community action groups have called out the government for failing to act on any of the recommendations set by the Welfare Expert Advisory Group report, Whakamana Tangata, Restoring Dignity to Social Security. I speak to AAAP coordinator Brooke Powell-Stanley about their demands for the government. I also speak to Associate Minister for Social Development Priyanka Radhakrishna to provide a government response on the issue. Lyric is speaking live to Rose Stewart, the National Nurse Advisor for Family Planning, to bust some cervical cancer myths and stigmatisations. Lyric also speaks to Tracy Klenner from the New Zealand Public Service Association about the recent issue with customs workers losing their jobs due to denied vaccinations. He aho o whakaro, I would love to hear your thoughts on any of these pieces. So tuku pātui mai, you can send us through a text on 5395 or wai mai rane, give us a call in studio on 309 3879. Also, after the show, kowe e wariwari e ahi ana koutou te whakarongo ki ēnei kōrero anō, he pakihiri rokiroki maronga i te pai tukituku o Irarangi Poho. Me haere ki 95BFM irakati.com. You can catch all of these stories and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com. Go up to the top, click BCasts, and then you'll see all the bits and pieces that The Wire and the rest of the BFM team has been putting online for you to listen at your leisure. But anyway, it's a great show today, so let's crack into it.
Irirangi Poho, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
It has been exactly 2 years since the Welfare Expert Advisory Group released their report, Whakamana Tangata, Restoring Dignity to Social Security. The report provided 42 recommendations to the government for the social welfare system in New Zealand. Campaign groups and NGOs such as Auckland Action Against Poverty and Child Poverty Action Group say that the government has failed to enact any of the recommendations set out under the report. They say they are frustrated and disappointed that the government has not acted on this report. I spoke to Brooke Powell-Stanley, coordinator of Auckland Action Against Poverty, about this issue. I began by asking Brooke what AAAP is calling for in terms of the welfare review and government action on it.
Yeah, so AAAP is really clear in terms of our campaign demands, which is livable incomes for all. And that's ensuring that everyone in this country has enough money after all their essential bills have been paid for. We've been really deliberate and not putting an amount on that, because we know that once there is an amount, the cost of living continues to rise. Landlords put up their rent, food goes up, power goes up, internet goes up, and so it's ensuring that everyone has enough after all their bills have been paid. We want to ensure that benefits are individualised. At the moment, if you're in a relationship, that affects your rate. And we want the government to remove all sanctions and obligations from the system.
this welfare review was done 2 years ago, and part of your point is that it's been 2 years almost to the day. Could you run through what sort of the core recommendations of the review that were particularly important to you?
From AAAP's perspective, some of the core recommendations were around changing the principles of the Social Security Act so that the Act is actually grounded into our Māori values and also ensures that that piece of legislation actually honours te tiriti. It would mean that changing the values and principles of the Act would mean that work and income weren't allowed to cause further hardship to you or your whānau. It would also mean that they could operate from a high trust model and giving people support. One of the other recommendations was an increase to core benefits, but that increase is only between 12 and 47%. And we're saying that recommendation still isn't enough in terms of ensuring people have enough to thrive in this country. There were some recommendations around removing some sanctions, but we want them to remove all workplace obligations and sanctions because research shows that they actually don't help support people into meaningful work or help support people. And there was core recommendations around housing, ensuring that there's greater investment into state and public housing. We want the government to use this report as a guide as opposed to like, oh, we'll implement these things and then it's all fixed kind of thing.
Why have these recommendations not been a priority for the government over the last couple of years, do you think?
I think this government doesn't have the range. I think they like to think that they do, but I truly, yeah, they don't. I also think that what AAAP is calling for in terms of transforming the welfare system isn't actually going to transform just the welfare space. It's going to transform the whole way that we operate as a society. Because what we're saying is that people aren't their work. People are more than their work, actually. We're calling for people's, for all people to have their rights to their own existence, for all people to have autonomy and sovereignty. And I think within a capitalist system where you're only viewed as, well, work is such an important aspect of like who we are within the space, and we're saying that everyone actually is contributing to work, whether it's paid or unpaid. And actually, if people are here, then we should be providing for them. So imagine a world in which everyone kind of gets to decide how they want to, what their contribution will be, is radical to people. But I think the government has, I mean, they've got so much clout. They can use some of that clout to start nurturing these conversations about actually where we're heading. And yeah, I think just this Labor government, they don't have the solutions to these issues.
Do you think that there is or there could be a government that would have that transformative core to make a change in the current day and age that we're in? Do you think that there ever would have been a possibility that New Zealand would see a government like that right now or any time in the near future?
I think it's a greater change that needs to happen because I think we need to be real about where we're heading, where we are. Like looking at actually, let's be real about all the work that we do now that we can't, that like what that currently contributes to, and actually be real about what the work that needs to be done. I mean, the government's here acting illegally anyways. They didn't honour te tiriti. And so I think the future of this country should be, we should be being guided by Te Iwi Māori. I mean, they have all the knowledge and solutions to the issues that that have been created by colonisation and this government. And I think in terms of where we need to go, it's with their leadership, their values at the core.
Obviously, we've seen a huge overhaul to the health system under this Labor government, and with the budget set to be announced later this month, and the budget also being recovery-focused, according to Grant Robertson, due to COVID-19, do you expect this budget to address the lack of response to the welfare review in any way?
I mean, I would hope so. but I'm not holding my breath because I think what the government thinks is good for people in low-income communities and what AAAP believes are two different things. And I've learned really quickly on the job not to have expectations of, to be honest, anything. The only kind of thing that grounds us is our kaupapa and the communities that we serve, and we go hard for that. But I would hope that they would, but already they've shown, like in the last couple of years, they think that they're doing enough for people in low-income communities with their incremental changes, and we've been really vocal that actually, no, it's not. It's not enough, and it's kind of really arrogant to suggest that the laws and what you're saying is enough for people when they're not the one, like, they're not the ones on benefits. They're not the ones on getting $20 an hour. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's rich to say, oh, yeah, we're doing enough for you when they're not impacted by these rules or affected by them. So I think, I mean, yeah, I mean, we live in hope for sure, but also we're realistic about, like, their track record. I mean, if it's not livable incomes, we don't want it kind of thing. So we will be really vocal if it isn't, if it's anything less. I mean, we saw Carmel, she signalled on The Nation the other day about increasing the job seeker benefit by $57 by the year 2023. And it's like, sis, does anyone in government know how much it costs to live here in New Zealand? Like, it's really out of touch. And, yeah, it's too slow. That's our issue, is that there's a real lack of urgency. So, yeah, we hope that the budget's got its mean for low-income communities, but also I'm real about it might not be true. I don't want to get my hopes up.
That was Brooke Powell-Stanley, coordinator of Auckland Action Against Poverty, speaking on the group's disappointment with government inaction on welfare policy. You're tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. We will be right back with a response to the interview just played from Associate Minister for Social Development and Employment, Priyanka Radhakrishna. Send us a text, tell us what you're thinking, 5395. We will be right back very shortly.
The beauty of the fleeting and the ephemeral is so last century.
95BFM's popular shows, features and interviews are available as podcasts on RSS and Apple.
You're listening to Totally Wired, the all-new music show. My name is Jess Fu.
Thanks for stopping by for the 95BFM Kids Show.
Greetings and welcome. This is the Rhythm Selection.
So this is one for the musical theatre nerds out there.
Welcome along to Thursday Drive with Johnny and Big Hungry.
And we will let you know about Drive Island, of course.
Never miss out again. Becast, available on Apple Podcasts. Podcast or RSS for whatever podcatcher you're into.
The majestic wonders of the ancient world. The pyramids at Giza. The cunning riddle of the Sphinx.
But now one ancient secret has been solved by the good people at Bread and Butter.
Their ancient grain sourdough uses heritage cereals, Khorasan, spelt and sorghum, and follows the age-old method of sourdough fermentation dating back to ancient Egypt. So it's great for your gut, tastes delicious, and is better for the planet. Ancient grain sourdough at Bread and Butter, Grey Lynn, Ponsonby, and the Coast Plaza in Whangaparoa. Order online at breadandbutter.nz.
Yo, what's up?
Oh my god, thanks for coming.
You've really gone all out.
Yeah, candlelit dinner, you know?
Smells like the baths?
That's just the entree. Then we've got mutton birds with a side of swr.
Ooh, and what's for dessert?
Blue monkey.
What's cooking? Every Wednesday evening, Johnny and Big Hungry are joined on 95BFM Drive by a very special guest for great chats about tasty tunes. What's cooking? Thanks to audioculture.co.nz, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Te pataka koriti o ngā pōru o Aotearoa.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
You're on the Wire on 95BFM. I also spoke to Associate Minister for Social Development and Employment, Priyanka Radhakrishna, for a response to the calls made by campaign groups such as Auckland Action Against Poverty that the government has failed to enact any of the recommendations set out under the Welfare System Review released in 2019. The responsibility for welfare policy lies with the Minister for Social Development and Employment, Carmel Cipollone, but Priyanka can speak broadly on this policy area. Here is Priyanka now. Auckland Action Against Poverty, Action Station, Child Poverty Action Group and other campaign groups have called out the government for failing to enact any of the 42 recommendations under the 2019 Welfare Review. As the Associate Minister for Social Development, what do you have to say to this call?
With regard to what you've asked, I would push back a little bit on that. Of course, things like indexation, the work on the largest change to abatement levels in two decades. As I said, lifting main benefits $25 a week and indexing them to average wage, which of course the Children's Commissioner had said back then was one of the main things the government could do to address child poverty. The winter energy payment, investment through the families package to the tune of $5.5 billion, investing in job training and apprenticeships programs. All of that has happened, and also the work that the minister's done to change the culture within work and income so that those, everyone who goes there for support is actually proactively told what they're entitled to. All of that, those are significant changes that have been made since the welfare expert advisory group. So there is a fair bit of work underway. I also know that of the 42 recommendations, there's work currently underway to address about 22 of those recs, and there's advice commissioned on almost all the rest of them as well. So there is a fair bit of work happening and a fair bit that has been achieved, but of course would always acknowledge that there's always more work to do.
A common criticism when it comes to the welfare system in New Zealand is that things happen too slowly, with increasing expenses, benefits and various other packages like that don't catch up with the way expenses constantly increase, particularly if you're living in one of the biggest cities in New Zealand. I spoke to Brooke Powell-Stanley from AAAP this morning, and she says that this government doesn't have the range or understanding to transform the welfare system and lacks urgency on this issue. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say that, we absolutely do understand the need to address income inadequacy. In fact, it is, a key part of our manifesto coming into this government as well. I've already outlined the steps we've taken as a government towards income inadequacy or addressing income inadequacy. What I'd also say is that the approach that we are taking is one where we address some of these long-term challenges in a way that is sustainable, but also in a way that is holistic. So, for example, housing, all of us, you mentioned the largest, the main city. I'm an Auckland MP. I'm acutely aware of the need for us to increase supply of housing, as is our government. And we are on track to deliver over 18,000 public and transitional housing places by 2024, increasing the supply of public housing and improving housing affordability across the board, and really addressing the housing crisis at various points of the spectrum, right through from emergency and transitional through to public housing and housing affordability for first home buyers, but also making renting really an option for those who choose to rent, increasing tenure of rent, security of tenure of rent, but also affordability of rentals as well. So it is something that we're doing across the board, across the housing sector, education, for example, removing the need for parents to pay school donations, the winter energy payment, which kicks off again this week, that supports some of our senior citizens who have told me that it means now that they no longer have to sit in their living rooms with three or four layers of clothing just to keep warm. It's about the single mum who says now that she's able to buy some extra layers of clothing for her child. All of these play into addressing cost of living for those on benefits as well as more broadly New Zealanders, and it needs to be looked at holistically.
we've seen the Labor government announce a massive overhaul to the healthcare system to make way for a more centralised healthcare and an implementation of the calls for an independent Māori health authority. Would the welfare system in New Zealand ever see an overhaul like this?
Look, as I mentioned previously, this is, you know, this doesn't fit within my portfolio. That's probably more a question for the Minister for Social Development and Employment. But what I can say is, you know, in terms of the examples that I've given you, we have been taking steps to ensure that we reform the welfare system. We know there's need to do that. We've taken steps. We've started or embarked upon that. There's a bit more to be done to address the issue of income inadequacy on a much broader scale, and we'll keep doing that.
Now, finally, I just wanted to ask you about COVID-19, and obviously that's the big elephant in the room at the moment. Has COVID-19 impacted the way the government is looking at welfare policy going forward?
Yeah, look, it is, you know, something that's put us globally in a bit of a tailspin, to put that lightly, but also it's given us the opportunity to look at some of the issues that the pandemic has shone the spotlight on, you know, issues that were always there but have been highlighted in terms of their significance. It's also an opportunity for us to look at how we address some of those long-term challenges, whether it's the housing crisis, climate change, or in fact income inadequacy, in a way that is, in a way that we can make changes that are sustainable, that will sustain over time as well, and make traction to address those. So I think it's changed the way we've looked at addressing most things, and it's also highlighted the fact that this is an opportunity for us to take stock and look at how we may do things differently.
Today, Grant Robertson has done his pre-budget speech before the budget is now announced later this month. And this budget is meant to be recovery-focused due to COVID-19. Can we, I don't know whether you'd be able to say anything on this, but can we expect to see a recovery focus for welfare within this budget?
Yeah, look, I can't preempt the budget at all, can't make any budget announcements, but, you know, when we took office, our government was very clear that our focus for this term will be, of course, to continue, you know, protecting the safety of New Zealanders from COVID, working on ensuring that we had an economic recovery from the pandemic in a way that was sustainable, and also addressing some of those long-term challenges that we've faced that I've alluded to previously as well. So I'm just going to leave it at that for now, and unfortunately we're going to have to wait till the budget announcement per se.
That was Associate Minister for Social Development and Employment, Priyanka Radhakrishna, responding to the calls made by Auckland Action Against Poverty and a number of other NGOs and campaign groups who are disappointed and frustrated with the government's enactment of the recommendations set out under the Welfare System Review released in 2019. You're tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. Lyric is here now.
Hello.
And we will be right back with a live interview with Lyric and a representative from Family Planning. But in the meantime, have a chill out, listen to this. Here is Here to Stay by New Order.
Fly.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
You're tuned into The Wire on 95BFM with Jemima and Lyric. You just listened to Until the Sun by Whisper Dish. Lyric is up next with her piece. Take it away.
We've got Rose Stewart from Family Planning on the line right now to do some myth-busting on cervical cancer. How are you going, Rose?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Firstly, I just want to ask, at what age do people with a uterus need to start getting their smear test done, and how regularly do they need to be retested?
Well, you start having one when you turn 25. This was a change from the recent past when it was 20, but now it's 25, and then you need to have a smear a year later just to confirm the result from the one a year before, and then you have them every 3 years at the moment.
And what kind of symptoms do people need to look out for?
Well, if people are having any unusual bleeding or pain, they should always see a doctor and talk about it. Especially older women, if they're having bleeding in between their periods or bleeding after sex, that can be a sign of problems.
And we've seen with Kitty Allen yesterday, she's got a few nasty comments. And there was one myth that was being pushed about promiscuity leading to contracting cervical cancer. Is this at all based
well,
in fact?
Well, the fact is that most cervical cancers are caused by a human papillomavirus, a particular strain of those viruses. So everybody that's sexually active does get these viruses, but there are particular strains which are more often present in a cervical cancer, and we know that they can contribute to cancer. So that's why the vaccine has been implemented for young people about 11 to prevent them when they pick up these viruses being affected by them. So it is because these viruses are picked up through sexual activity, although they can be passed through birth to a baby, but mainly through sexual activity. And so the implication is, if you've got this virus, it's like a STI, and you've been bad. But actually, everybody gets it, and nobody knows they've got it. It's endemic, really, in the whole population of people having sex. So only some people suffer the consequences of cancer, through contracting a particular strain of the virus and then it being undetected because they're not checked. They don't have smears and get checkups. Yeah.
Are there any other actions that can increase risk for cervical cancer?
Well, smoking slightly increases risk. So that's just a small additional risk, but smoking is always hard on your body in lots of ways and your immunity, so it's always best not to smoke for a lot of reasons, and this is another reason not to smoke. And then people who've got other illnesses like HIV or AIDS, where their immunity is low, they can be more at risk, but mainly it's the normal picking up of human papillomavirus through
And what needs to be done to combat cervical cancer stigmatisation, especially towards Māori?
I think if we think of breast cancer, and how widely that's talked about and promoted and so on, it's all through magazines and, everybody knows about breast cancer, but people don't really talk so much about cervical cancer when, 50% of the population have a uterus and are at risk of getting it. So we just need to talk about it more, and we need to talk about cervical screening and encourage people to have smears and make them normal, you know, and provide opportunities for people when they have a smear to put in their own speculum and bring their own blanket if they want to, you know, come, you know, they can even book a session with a friend and both do it so that they're both doing the same thing together. But people can be very, very sort of whakamara and shy about anything down there. So that, I think that's one of the things that's hard for people. If they don't turn up, it's often because they're just too shy.
How do the self-tests work?
Well, that's a whole different thing. So this is where we're gradually changing in New Zealand towards using human papillomavirus testing as the primary testing for prevention of cervical cancer, whereas that is already used within laboratories. So if you have an abnormal smear, they will do an add-on HPV test to see whether you've got the high-risk HPV. So it's already been used in that context, but it needs to be rolled out so that all people, when they're having this kind of sampling, it's done through a swab testing for HPV, because that's a reliable marker for cancer risk. Yeah, so that's just something that has to be rolled out through the Ministry of Health. It's quite big because, you know, it changes everything. The program is huge. The cervical screening program is huge. There's masses of information. It all has to be changed and updated. People need to be advised about what's going to happen. The laboratories need to change everything they're doing. And women also need to understand, if you take your own swab, you could still have a positive result and you could still end up having to go to the hospital for some treatment. So if you're doing it yourself, you don't have anyone there to explain things to you.
So we're probably still a few years off seeing self-tests rolled out.
I'm not sure how. I don't know what the ministry's timeline is on it, but it's definitely going to happen.
Okay, great. Do you have any questions, Jemima?
No, thank you so much for your time today, Rose. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, so that was Rose from Family Planning speaking on some of the cervical cancer myths that there are circulating about always, and particularly at the moment in the wake of Kitty Allen's unfortunate diagnosis with cervical cancer recently. I do apologise for the quality of that line. I was working away as Lyric was doing that interview to try and fix it for you, but I think it was just one of those annoying phone things. But anyway, we've got one more piece for you coming up on The Wire. Stay with us, 95BFM. Stay tuned in all day long. We will be right back after this. Here is Already by Brandon Shiraz.
Say nothing, didn't I stop, I don't say nothing. Say wanna ride, that's real funny. Too many times y'all been running. Already outside, I've been hungry. Already outside, I've been hungry. Call, but you ain't wanted. Cop, call, but ain't wanted. Y'all get loose online, and when it comes time, I bet they ain't say nothing. Me and them setting up shop, I promise it ain't no 0800. One hand whip, another hand, got a mop like Paca Ox, how do you want it? Yeah, hey, do the next artist. Do it like Herbie, I'm headhunting. Demolition derby, I dead done him. Y'all know that I've been running. Already outside, I've been hungry. Already outside, I've been hungry. Already outside, I've been hungry. Shiraz ain't built for the game. Little tricky, I'm picking a prey. Thinking that I figure out to kick out the pigs and the piss out the way. They flip out and flip out the frames. Sticking up kids in the rain. Little piffy and sting like sage. Pretty hunk, giddy up, looks and slays. Ricky run, Ricky, I trip up the race. You ain't do what I do, you ain't playing. Chopping up feta in the kitchen, I'ma always claim. Avoid my taste. Since kitty little boy, I was digging up change. Piggy bank coins in the safe. Shades on, I know income. Diddy bad boy, I'm bigger with the faith. Chicken lick, I've been up for days. Don't run for the cops, I tried them. Try to make that block too basic. I don't take breaks, I'm back to the islands. With the governor won't come find us. If he do we sneak up behind him. With a crow body we got from the swans, I'm silent. If we don't put him on split, survive and send him right back and flying. Yeah.
coming in hot like Jeff Hardy. None of these others won't say nothing. I stand with some brothers in a big army. That's why none of them can't touch me. Already outside, I've been hungry. Already outside, I've been hungry. Already outside, I've been hungry. Yeah. Already outside, I've been hungry. Yeah. Already outside, I've been hungry. Already outside, I've been hungry. I've been outside, I've been hungry.
Jazz B. You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna come and go just like the top on it. You wanna hit me on my phone and come and slap on it. You wanna take me to heaven like a dive on it. You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna come and go just like the top on it. You wanna hit me on my phone and come and slap on it. You wanna take me to heaven like a dive on it. Yeah. I guess the field's flowing open for the right moment. Swerving left, right, driving like the whip stolen. I'm a poet, got you sipping on my love potion. Follow my lead, baby, like it's hypnosis. What's your motive? What's your name? What's your sign? Time is of the essence, tick-tock the design. Hands trying to be in your rotation every night. This that midnight hour, we gon' shine. Bring him to the front, girls wanna have fun. Every man try go one by one. Waving by bite, no bread, not a crumb. Gotta make a bank run, wanna have fun. What you bringing to the table, baby, what you offer? What moves are you making? Yeah, we trying to prosper. I'm in a big brains, big game, big talker. If it ain't 8-1, don't bother. You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna come and go just like the top on it. You wanna hit me on my phone and come and slap on it. You wanna take me to heaven like a dive on it. You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna come and go just like the top on it. You wanna hit me on my phone and come and slap on it. You wanna take me to heaven like a dive on it. If we in a coalition, best be politicking. Put your hands up to the ceiling if you're feeling the feeling. With all this wheeling and dealing and all the heights to be reaching, there's not another like me, and there's one in a billion. I see your baby, yeah, freakily. I do it real good, real easily. Practice makes a person that the people seek. And how you treating you is how you treating me. And if it ain't what I want, I'ma jump back from it. I'm too high and too iconic. I don't judge, I just am honest. I don't want debt, want love and profit. If I get down, I'ma get down real. Bust down on ya, I'ma close that deal. Only speak big facts, but my game unreal. Half queen, half monster, where does she kill? You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna come and go just like the top on it. You wanna hit me on my phone and come and slap on it. You wanna take me to heaven like a dive on it. You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna come and go just like the top on it. You wanna hit me on my phone and come and slap on it. You wanna take me to heaven like a dive on it.
You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna rap on it, rap on it. You wanna rap on it, rap on it. Coming on just like the top on it.
Southbound Records, New Zealand's largest range of new vinyl, a fantastic curated selection of secondhand, plus all the accessories you need. Brushes, cleaners, sleeves, crates and more. Their in-store experts can help you out whatever genre you're into. So support your local and head into Southbound today. Southbound Records, your vinyl specialists. Pop in at 132 Simon Street or order online.
Velvet, truffle oil on prosciutto, the good cat food with the gooey bits.
But nothing out there is quite as fancy as the 95BFM Fancy New Band Showcase.
Featuring Emmanuel,
Zoe Moon,
Greco Romank,
Elena,
Messiah,
Sol Labasa,
Von Staden and Boom,
Ludus,
and Jules Acab.
Parrot Dog Beer and Happy Hour Hard Kombucha present 95BFM Fancy New Band Showcase. May 28th, the Wine Cellar, Whammy Bar and Backroom. Entry by donation.
This is a sad, sad day. BFM, the font of liberalism and tolerance at the centre of the University of Auckland.
The Wire.
You're on 95BFM. This is The Wire with Jemima and Lyric. We have one last piece for you today.
I spoke with Tracy Klenner from the New Zealand Public Service Association about the recent story about custom workers losing their jobs over denied vaccinations. Do these people who manage the customs workers have the power to legally deny someone employment for not accepting a vaccination? Does that come under a health and safety risk?
The public health order that came out last week around vaccinations allows employers to look at the health and safety risk that an unvaccinated worker poses in the workplace. So, but what's really important in that space is that we try and find alternative employment options for people. We try and redeploy them, that we work with them like we're doing with some unionised members to ensure that they are still employed and that they can work in a lower risk area of the workforce.
And are there many of these areas available?
For government workers at the moment, there are, you know, there's hundreds of jobs on the government worksite, so across New Zealand. So there are lots of opportunities that might not just be in the space in customs or other border roles, but opportunities across government where we think workers should be supported to be redeployed.
Is it possible that workers who don't want to take place and their workplace's vaccination program feel this way because they also feel neglected by their workplace?
I think most of the workers that we represent in the border space at the moment, most of them have been vaccinated, around 95%. They feel, most of the ones that we know, feel well supported to be vaccinated. We've been working with the employers, the union affiliates in this area, around educating, empowering and supporting people to do this. And there's a lot of other good health and safety protocols and measures in place, PPE and infection control that are supporting workers to feel safe in the workplace. And this is just the vaccination's kind of one add-on to that to make them feel safe.
With these programs to try and empower these workers to feel safe, do they have cultural and spiritual guiders?
The Ministry of Health guidance around empowering and supporting workers across New Zealand to get the vaccination, but in this space they have worked hard to connect to have vaccination information in multiple languages, and they've been working with Māori and other health providers so that workers can be vaccinated or talk to someone who has more of an understanding of what the cultural needs may be for them personally.
And there's been a lot of backlash to this story about custom workers losing their jobs, people saying that these workers don't deserve some kind of financial compensation for being sacked. Are these conversations going too far?
I think what's important is that workers' rights are protected. So workers that may or may not be unionised are afforded the opportunity with their employer, for the employer to give, you know, due consideration to what options may be available, that they, you know, take and look at every opportunity and they take their time to work this through. It would be great to see workers on special leave on pay until such a time as we can find them alternative duties, especially where they work in a high-risk environment like this, where they've worked hard for the last year to kind of keep New Zealand safe, worn PPE, worked in a difficult environment. So I think it's really important that we, you know, get behind people and support them to be employed.
And how can workers contact and form a relationship with their unions, for those listening who are interested but not quite there yet?
Oh, I think there are a number of opportunities. So if people work in a workplace where the PSA represents them, we have a free phone number that they can ring, which is 0508 367 772, and they can talk to one of our team on the phones about joining the union. They can also go online to www.psa.org.nz. And if they're a union, if they're a worker who works for a place where they're covered and supported by another union, we can point them in the right direction. They can also go to the CTU website to have a look to see what union might be the best one for them to join.
Do you have any closing comments?
Oh, I think it's just really important that we, like I said before, that we support workers who've been keeping New Zealand safe all this time. It is really important to have health and safety in the workplace, and that we maintain the safety of all workers by having PPE, and that includes the vaccine as a safety option for workers. And I think it's really important that people think about joining and becoming a union member, because we can have a really broad collective response for them. We work with the agencies that are involved, with the employers that are involved across the CTU and across government to come up with solutions in a collective way.
That was Tracy Klenner from the New Zealand Public Service Association.
That was The Wire.
That was the Tuesday Wire for another week. Thank you so much for tuning in and giving us a text and calling in. We always love hearing from you. Thank you very much, Lyric, for being a wonderful producer, doing the first live interview. Very exciting. Sounded all very good. Also, thank you so much to the people who gave up their time to speak with us today. We always appreciate the access we have to the experts we speak to. It's awesome. Yeah, and I just maybe wanted to go through a couple of wee texts and bits we got in, because we got quite a bit of engagement over some of the stories today. So with the story at the beginning about Auckland Action Against Poverty and other campaign groups calling out the government for the lack of work in the welfare sector. Had somebody say, costs less to pay people a decent amount and save on things like health and prisons, etc. And Grizzy texted in saying, maybe we have done enough reviews and need to action things. Which, you know, is a very interesting point as well. So thank you so much for your engagement. We love hearing from you. Have a lovely afternoon. Up next is Jin with the 1 to 4.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.